flag. Cardinals jump. Kaepernick's got a free play and unloads it to Davis. He's got it. Touchdown.
The enemy.
I would gander to say that Antonio Brown is there, and that's why in my mind he was the perfect opponent. An athlete, and not just an athlete, one of the best in the NFL. He's got the clout. He's a household name, and in many ways, I don't know if he needs this fight, but he could really use this fight.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan Big Mac McKinnell on 920 The Game.
The Rock's ribs, the Rock's ass. The Rock's got hurt ribs. Big deal. It's no big deal at all.
Yeah, turn it up. Let's go. Run the jewels. Rage Against the Machine tickets going on sale tomorrow. I'm very excited. But we got a sports show to do. Welcome into the Mac Attack here on 920 The Game. I am Ryan McKinnell. Got Chris Chapman across the way. One half of the VGK Insiders coming up here in about a half an hour. Ryan, the hockey guy. Frank's a little under the weather magnum, which begs the question, why is Frank in this building?
Yeah, well, Frank, much like the Golden Knights, basically could have no-showed today like the Golden Knights did last night.
We would have been fine?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much, I mean, it would have been the same thing, right? VGK doesn't even get on the plane to go to Minneapolis, get on the bus to St. Paul.
Were the Vegas Golden Knights on the ice last night?
I don't think so. No.
That was bad. I was over at Parkway Tavern, so I was kind of in and out talking to folks and watching the game, but, I mean, it doesn't take a hockey savant to see that last night was disappointing. We will get more into the Vegas Golden Knights in about half an hour with Ryan, the hockey guy. Ryan Wallace stopping by because, as we said, VGK Frank, he's out of it. He's out of commission.
Yet he's still here.
Yet he's still in the building. Like, he literally, I just talked to him about 5 minutes ago. And I'm like, what's up, Frank? He's like,
he sounds like Kermit the Frog.
It's crazy.
Not even Kermit the Frog. I'm trying to think of like just a rascally, like.
You gave him your coronavirus, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. He you know what he sounds like? He sounds like Fat Albert. Remember?
God, he does sound like that.
I said to him, Frank, what's wrong? He goes,
man, my freaking throat is so dry.
Like,
I don't think okay. I think it's more than a dry throat.
I don't think he said freaking either.
Oh man. Poor
it's
Frank.
So dry.
Our thoughts are with you, Frank. Our thoughts are with you. Vegas Golden Knights back in action tomorrow. Starting a really hellish homestand. It's always nice to be back home. We'll talk about that more. Blues, Capitals, Islanders, to name a few. Good luck, boys, because
Tampa Bay Lightning,
you're
going to
need
eight in a row.
Yeah. Those average Tampa Bay Lightning.
And the Florida Panthers, who you embarrassed on their home ice.
They probably don't want to make a point. Yeah.
And they might go 0-5 on this road trip. Or
Frank,
on this home
Frank
stand.
Predicted 1-4. It better. If it's 1-4 or 0-5, season's over.
Yes.
I don't see how you get on the other end of that. The Pacific is weak, but it's a lot of people beating up on each other, and the Vegas Golden Knights need to get some wins. Again, we'll talk about that here in a little bit. You heard in the audio there to start the show some Eric Bieniemy and a little bit of Colin Kaepernick. Let's start with Kaepernick because, guess what? Colin Kaepernick is back in the news. Headline reads, XFL commissioner, quote, Kaepernick rejected by league after exorbitant salary demands. Oliver Luck, the XFL commissioner, father of Andrew Luck, told NPR on Sunday that the league approached Kaepernick, but said the significant salary restrictions ultimately meant that the Spring Football League, quote, couldn't go down that road. What do you think?
Well, clearly the league doesn't have a stance or an issue with his stance on kneeling for the national anthem, despite what they said originally.
They're not saying it here.
Well, it kind of goes back to some of the stuff with the NFL, right? Like, weren't the Ravens seriously looking at him, and he wanted so much money? I think the Broncos were in the mix as well.
I think those were reports. They weren't backed up by Kaepernick. We never got actual solidification on what was asked and what was
again,
desired.
Though, this is now a second league where they're saying, we'd be interested in signing the guy, but he wants way too much money, and especially a league like the XFL, who's like the NFL, you know what, who cares? Get what you can. The XFL doesn't have the liquid. No. They don't have the cheddar.
No, and that's why they don't. That's why they exactly. And you said it. A guy like Kaepernick, he was one snap, two snaps away from being a Super Bowl MVP in 2012, 13, whatever it was. Was breaking records in terms of rushing and passing for the 49ers and a career quarterback rating that sits above a lot of current starting quarterbacks in the NFL. Now, years are going by. Kaepernick probably isn't as good as he would have been when he left the league, despite people saying, oh, he's a backup and he doesn't actually want to play. No, he's a player that knew his value. He wasn't asking for – I mean, Mike Glennon got $20 million from the Chicago Bears like 3 or 4 years ago, right when Kaepernick was walking away from the league or when all that was going on. Colin Kaepernick was infinitely more deserving of $20 million than Mike Glennon ever was. And there is example after example after example.
Yeah, what if he wasn't asking for 20? What if he was asking for $50 million but over
I
3 years?
Do you really think that would – I mean, we don't know.
I know Nike gave him a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, we don't know, right? We don't know at the end of the day. What we do know is that if he was going to play in the XFL, you would have had to back up the Brinks truck.
Yeah.
Because he's Colin Kaepernick.
He would have had to be Jalen Ramsey jumping out of the Brinks truck that started training camp.
I mean, think about it. They have nobody. They have Connor Cook. They have Cardale Jones. And that's it.
They have Vince McMahon.
And they have Vince McMahon. And listen, we've talked about the XFL. We enjoyed the XFL. It was a really good program product that debuted over the weekend. And I'm going to watch this weekend. And we're going to talk about it on Friday with Wes Reynolds again.
That guy.
That guy. Let's call him that guy. Because he's doing the BetCast and he's following the XFL, and I'm interested. But Kaepernick by far would have been the biggest name. I don't think it's just about playing football. I think Kaepernick's football legacy is pretty secure. He was a pretty good quarterback when he was playing, and then he got blackballed. Would he have been a pretty good quarterback for those next few years? I don't know. I have no idea. We never got to see it.
But a lot of it would have depended on where he went.
Yeah, but what we saw prior was, hey, this is a guy that can compete, and he can, you know, make a playoff. He can push a playoff team. He can lead a team. And he can be dangerous at different points.
I like when people point to, oh, well, look at his last year in San Francisco or the year before that. And it's like, yeah, they stripped everything away from him.
There was nothing there.
There was no more Anquan Boldin. Right. Vernon Davis was at the end of his tenure with San Francisco. Patrick Willis was on one leg.
Yep. 1 year away from retirement.
Yeah. So it's not like.
And who was the other one? They had another one who retired really early on that defensive end.
Yeah. Another linebacker, I think. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And then they had the lineman, was it Iaputi?
I believe so, yeah.
He left.
Yep.
So like, yeah.
There was an adjustment period.
He was playing with XFL players, yeah,
and
basically.
And also, it wasn't horrible. But yeah, this idea that Kaepernick would take a demotion for anything less than a stupid bag is just ridiculous. He had a high salary demand. He's a NFL Super Bowl quarterback not even a decade ago, and he's still, you know, relatively in his prime, despite what we've seen him for a couple of years. And also, there's the obvious eyes that he would bring and the controversy it would bring. I mean, that's worth money. If Kaepernick played in the XFL this weekend, it would be a really big piece of news. And
Also alienating half of your audience?
Half, no.
Could a league,
but you would definitely alienate your
could a
alienate
league that is
audience.
A startup league like this?
That's a good question. Probably not.
I don't think
could they afford that
because you know there's always that bad publicity is good publicity, right?
Yeah, no bad press is all bad press is good press, or there's no such thing as bad press. I think that's it.
But when you are in your infancy,
yeah,
I don't know if you could sustain the all out assault that would have come from certain people in the media, including people in very high important places who probably shouldn't be bothered with what the XFL is doing.
Well, I think you're talking about Trump, and let's remember Vince McMahon, owner of the XFL, very, very good friends with Donald Trump. Donald Trump only follows like 20 people on Twitter.
Yeah.
Vince is one of them. And Vince's wife
used to work for.
Exactly.
She was the Secretary of Small Business.
Exactly. She sat on Donald Trump's cabinet.
Yeah. So there's a big connection there. So I don't know how. I'm assuming that Vince was okay with this.
Well, Vince thrives in controversy.
Yeah.
In terms of the idea of bringing him in, yes.
Yeah, he would have loved it.
Paying him $15 million a season, I doubt that
Insane.
That was anything
Insanity.
He was interested in.
Like, I have no idea what WWE stars make.
Yeah.
I would venture to guess not a lot of them are making $15 million a year.
No, none of them are making even close. I think their biggest stars make around $5 million. Like John Cena makes around five a year. So Randy Orton makes like one and a half.
That's insane. That guy only makes $2.5 million a year.
Randy Orton?
He's like one of the biggest stars. I mean, he's been a big star for 20 years.
Just about. Little less, but yeah.
I mean, Cena's been around for that long too.
And Cena makes the biggest contract, or he was when he was regularly wrestling.
For him to be the highest paid guy at that much. I mean,
I
would venture to guess that guys in the XFL probably aren't even making anywhere close.
I don't know if there's no million-dollar players. I think I recall reading, and I'm not exactly sure on this, so I don't want to speculate. But six figures, low six figures for the quarterbacks.
So Kaepernick,
it's decent money. It creates a fine alternative. It's just not.
Well, Kaepernick would want basically the salary of what an entire team is.
Yeah,
maybe more,
probably more.
I mean, if your quarterback's making $600,000, what is the backup left tackle making?
I just don't like this headline just from the standpoint, duh, he's not going to play for the XFL, and duh, he's not going to take a pay cut. Yeah. Why would he?
Well, that's just it. You know your value.
Right. And he's clearly never – his time's done in football. He's never going to go back to the NFL. The whole Jay-Z, you know, the workout this year, it's all a sham. Nobody actually wants him. And as we get further, you know, as the years pass by, I'm not – you know, that argument that he can't play is obviously going to be hold more water because, yeah, he can't because he's getting older. Speaking of taking a demotion, as we talk about the possibility of Colin Kaepernick going to the XFL, which is a little bit ridiculous, it's not nearly as ridiculous as the thought of Eric Bieniemy taking the job at Colorado University. What is going on? Colorado's coach, he's out.
Michigan State now,
right, with the D'Antonio.
What the hell was that all?
We know what that is. It's a celebration. Oh, yeah. Is it, Mike? It doesn't sound like a celebration.
Makes you wonder what really is going on.
Yeah, massive scandal. And he's out. And it's just, that's what it is. The program needed to turn a new leaf. And as we said, the Colorado coach, sorry, the name escapes me, he is landing in Michigan State now, which opens up the Colorado job. And rumor is that Colorado wants to speak with offensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs and former running backs coach and offensive coordinator of the Colorado Buffaloes, Eric Bieniemy. That's the issue that I have. You're asking a man who just won a Super Bowl with one of the most prolific offenses we've seen in modern times in a great comeback. Also, you're going to ask him to leave Patrick Mahomes? You're going to ask him to leave Patrick Mahomes to come to Colorado, a place where he was already a coach, and he went on to infinitely bigger and better things. No disrespect to Colorado. That's a fine job. I'm not saying it's a bad job. It is a bad job for Eric Bieniemy.
It's a tough job.
Well, fine, all that. Being an offensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs, well, I was going to say that's a tough job, but maybe it's not.
With Pat Mahomes?
Yeah, I was going to say maybe you're just cruising, right? But no, this is so ridiculous to me. I saw this post from Mike Lombardi. You know Michael Lombardi, the NFL insider, SiriusXM employee, used to do a show with our pal JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel. Writes for The Athletic now. He said this on Twitter earlier this morning. Bill Walsh always said, if you want to be a head coach, go be a head coach. Eric Bieniemy should take the Colorado job if offered and show the world he can be a head coach. There are no perfect jobs, just jobs you make perfect. Oh, rah, rah, rah. Let's wave the... Are you... What?
No, he shouldn't.
Joe Judge just became the coach of the New York Giants after being the special teams coordinator of the New England Patriots. I hope you have Michael Lombardi. I hope you brought that same energy when you're talking about Joe Judge, because that man has no business being a head coach of an NFL team. Besides the fact that he's white and he comes from the Bill Belichick coaching tree.
Well, that goes a long way.
It's everything, right? Yeah. I once had dinner with Bill Belichick, I was going to say babysat Sean McVay's kids, but Sean McVay is a baby and he has no kids. But you get what I'm saying. The McVay coaching tree, the Belichick coaching tree. But that's not even the important part, because I think there is something you can say about spending time around Bill Belichick. That counts. It doesn't matter, though, if your title before you were the head coach of the New York Giants was special teams coordinator. Did Joe Judge have to go prove himself? Did he have to go down to Colorado? No, he wouldn't even have got the job at Colorado.
No, they would have laughed at him.
But he, for whatever reason, and that's... I'm, you know, the Giants gonna giant, whatever. I'll leave that alone. Joe Judge might not be a good head coach. That's not the point. The point is he did not prove himself in the way at least Mike Lombardi is suggesting that, hey, if you want to be a head coach, go be a head coach. There's no, what is it? There are no perfect jobs, just jobs you make perfect. That's exactly what he's doing in Kansas City. And when Kansas City wins the Super Bowl next year and he's a back-to-back Super Bowl champ with the chances, which could have been back-to-back-to-back, as we talked about, he very easily could have went that first year. Yeah, I think he's going to have any job as an NFL head coach that he wants. The noise surrounding Eric Bieniemy is so loud now, no one's going to pass on him again.
Well, the problem is for Eric Bieniemy to take this job at Colorado, basically Colorado has declined, and I know Mike Pritchard probably won't want to hear it, but he would probably agree. The program has declined to a point where 8-9 wins is a very good season for the Buffaloes.
Yeah.
Right? Like when we were kids, they were one of the marquee programs, top five, Cornell top Stewart, ten every year.
Absolutely.
Gary Barnett, yes. Great program.
Yep.
They have gone through a transition over the last 20 years where they have declined. And I'm not saying Eric Bieniemy can't go there and be successful, but the problem is if he goes there and he's not successful, he will never, ever, ever get a look as an NFL head coach. And it's ridiculous because he's probably the best coordinator in the NFL to not have ever had an NFL head coaching job.
It's nuts. And this rhetoric that you got to go prove yourself and pull yourself up by the bootstraps.
What else does he need to do?
Well, exactly. What does he need to do? Does he need to go be the special? Should he? Okay. That's it. Hey, guys, I'm going to walk away. You know, Pat Mahomes is too easy. I've already proved myself as offensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm going to go be special teams coordinator for Bill Belichick. I'm going to go be a water boy for Bill Belichick. Like, what? Where is the logic in that? There is none. You know what it is. You know what it is. It's ridiculous. I hope Eric Bieniemy gets all the bags. I hope he becomes the coach of the Chicago Bears and he wins 5 Super Bowls.
By the way, just to emphasize how much that Bill Belichick tree or connection, do you know what Brian Flores, he's now the coach of the Dolphins, do you know what his job was previous to becoming the head coach of the Miami Dolphins?
No.
He was the linebacker's coach.
Coffee maker for Bill Belichick?
Bill Belichick. Yeah. Then he was the safeties coach previous to that. A defensive assistant. Eric Bieniemy's resume is better than Brian Flores.
And it's a building resume. Whereas, like, Joe Judge was at Lesser. I mean, Bieniemy was already at Colorado. He served his time in Colorado.
He should not. Now, I get it, right? Like, this is your alma mater.
Yeah, whatever.
You want to be six. It's
You just won the Super Bowl as offensive coordinator.
But it's an unbelievably. It puts him in such a difficult position because if he turns it down.
He looks like a prick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if he accepts it. And he doesn't have success.
It's a demotion. Yeah. You don't get back to that level again. And it may not be your fault. And if you go and crap the bed in Colorado, people are like, oh, well, he's just not the coach we thought. He went to Colorado. What does this even mean?
Yeah. He went to a mediocre program. And guess what? If he keeps it mediocre, he's not going to get that call from the NFL.
He's not going to get the bump.
I hope he doesn't take it.
No kidding. I don't think he will. I would be dumbfounded if Eric Bieniemy took the head coaching job at Colorado. We'll see.
It just shows how ridiculous the NFL is.
And it also shows how ridiculous some people commenting on the NFL is that you're grasping at straws.
Yeah.
You're now like there's no logic in that statement. There's nothing factually, historically that backs that up. You don't need to go prove yourself to be a head coach. No one does. Joe Judge, the list goes on. Mark Trestman, when he was a coach of the Chicago Bears because he was a head coach of the CFL?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Like, there's no logic
well,
in it.
Well, what this is, and you know, I can put it in perspective. I get a call from Des Moines, Iowa. Hey, we're going to give you your own show, Drive Time, 5 to 7, Monday through Friday.
Right.
Your job is going to be covering, you're going to be driving to Ames, Iowa every other weekend in the fall to cover Iowa State football. That's a demotion for me.
You know, I think I'll stay in Vegas and cover the Vegas Golden Knights and keep in the Raiders and whatever else comes along.
I mean, but even though the allure is there of having that my name in the spotlight.
Well, now if they want to give you $250,000, buy Vegas.
Now, yeah. Well, that's a different story. Yeah. But I doubt Colorado's going to pay him more than what.
No.
Yeah, so there's not even that aspect.
I mean, they may offer a little bit more, but it won't be enough for him to say, screw the NFL and leave Pat Mahomes.
Yeah. I mean, it ultimately depends what his goal is. And you know what? If they come back and they win the Super Bowl next year and he does not get a sniff, there's already a serious problem in the NFL. But I mean, it would be so disgusting. I can't even come up with the adjectives to describe
I just don't think we'd have to worry about that. We'll see. We'll revisit this. We'll revisit it. Speaking of things I don't agree with, or craziness, or lack of logic, or semblance of reasoning. And I should mention, VGK Insider, Ryan the Hockey Guy, coming up in about 10 minutes. Getting in on that Vegas Golden Knights loss last night. And look ahead to this homestand. And I think we got a giveaway coming up, yeah, Trapman?
We do.
All right. Four more tickets to the Xfinity Series this Saturday out there at the Speedway. NASCAR is in town. We got four tickets for you coming up. We'll tell you how to win. But, as I was saying, speaking of controversy, you ever have something in life, Magnum, where in hindsight it was probably really good, but when you were in that time and in that moment and in that place, you were just agitated? You didn't make the most of it. Maybe you didn't know how good you had it. You know what I'm talking about? You ever have that time in your life?
Well, yeah, I think sometimes you're involved in relationships where you have that.
Sure. I think back to maybe high school, you know, where I just, 9 hours a day or whatever, you hated school, you hated being in class, but then you look at it, you know, you're 20 years removed, and you're like, you know what?
It was easy.
It was social. You didn't have the obligations of the real world around you. You were surrounded by all your friends. Your biggest concern is whose house is going to be empty on Friday night so we can go destroy it.
Who?
Or at least that was my
who am I going to prom with?
Yes.
Yeah.
Fun fact, I never went to prom.
Oh, you loser.
I partied.
Okay.
I went to all the prom after parties.
Oh, see? Well, that's all right.
Yeah. I just didn't go to prom. I had no interest.
Yeah, anyway. See, I went to all of them because I like to dance.
I like to dance.
So
the way you said that was, I like to dance.
Yeah. I would get my groove on. I was Stella way before Stella got her groove back.
Now I just got that picture of your wedding photo from last week with your little umbrella and your kimono, just twirling your umbrella. I like to dance. Leave me alone. Oh, Chapman, you're full of surprises. But as we talk about not knowing how good you had it, well, you know who's singing that tune? One, number 84. Number 84 in your playbooks, number 85 in your hearts. Antonio Brown has come out, and I don't mean to laugh. We know this about AB. He's all over the place. You just don't know what you're going to get with this dude. About 8 hours ago on social media, he shared a photo on Instagram of a very happy and jovial and jubilant Ben Roethlisberger embracing him. With the caption, "Mostly you, a little bit of me, yee yee." I think I did that right. "Mostly you, a little bit of me, yee yee. I never realized how good I had it. Got caught up in my emotion with everyone coming after me. I really apologize for my actions. Sincerely, man. It's never been another connection like what we've done in the past decade. I appreciate you. Sincerely, AB." Okay.
Not buying it.
Well, I don't know what to buy and not to buy with Antonio Brown because I don't know. I mean, He is all over the place. He goes from highly venomous, extremely concerning rhetoric, like that video that was shared last month with the bag of gummy Johnsons that he threw his baby mama. The Instagram post, the no white women, the music videos. He's in a lot of different places and headspaces, right? And we've seen a little bit of this contriteness, especially in the last couple weeks, really around the Super Bowl, right? It really started with the Super Bowl, like this Antonio Brown redemption tour. We go back to Drew Rosenhaus making the conditional breakup. I feel like that was we questioned when that happened. We came on the show, and we were essentially like, if this doesn't get it right, if this doesn't show him how serious this is, because Drew Rosenhaus is a snake. I mean that in the most complimentary way possible. That man will dig and dive and slither his way to the best deal possible, and he will stick by you even when the world is against you. And that, you know what? That is probably the role of a good agent. And there are few. I mean, who's better, Boris in baseball? It's Boris and Rosenhaus.
Yeah, Boris is pretty good.
Yeah, they're both good. They're both good.
Now, I'd be curious to see how well Boris would do in a structure where there's a salary cap.
Right.
But, I mean, they're neck and neck. I mean, those two, they're vicious. They're cold-blooded. I mean, they're if I was a pro athlete, I would want one of them representing me. Because I know I'm getting paid.
Exactly. And you know that you can do some dumb stuff and they'll still ride with you. But
I can do push-ups in my driveway.
As we said, how controversial. I'm telling you what, Drew Rosenhaus
that's lightweight stuff now.
I was going to say Drew Rosenhaus is praying to God that this was a Terrell Owens situation. And as you look back,
my quarterback.
Yeah, that all he did was be like emotional and have outbursts and do like sit-ups in his garage in his driveway. And people were like, he's the worst cancer. To a locker.
If only he had thrown gummy penises at his ex-wife or ex-girlfriend.
Potentially, allegedly assaulted people and had like multiple civic cases against him for chucking grills out of windows and not paying people and dangling their junk in front of artists that they commissioned to do paintings. Allegedly, again. Drew Rosenhaus would do anything to have Terrell Owens back. But you read this post, as I said. An apologetic Antonio Brown to Ben Roethlisberger. And I guess, Magnum, I just have to hope. I just have to hope. Because at the end of the day, he's a human being. The way it was, honestly, the way it was kind of teetering, kind of felt like he was a danger to society. Know what I mean? Like, and I was more worried about like what could happen to people around him so much than himself. But again, I do care about him. Again, he's human. And, you just want to see it. You don't want it to see him badly for him or anybody else. Speaking of concern and ending badly for somebody else, horrible news out of the island of Hawaii for you Fight fans out there. Ryan the Hockey Guy coming up in 5 minutes. Going to get back on this Vegas Golden Knights tip. But if you are a Fight fan, you may have missed this. News breaking today that earlier last week, UFC legend, Hall of Famer, and depending on the era of Fight fan you are, might be one of your favorite fighters. BJ Penn was allegedly involved in a DUI on his home island of Hilo, allegedly flipping his truck somewhere around like a shopping plaza, and then being found essentially unresponsive. He was arrested for DUI and taken in. This is another notch in a long history of a steady decline for BJ Penn. About 3-4 months ago, we saw him in a viral video fighting with bouncers outside a club. He actually got knocked out by a local. Some dude off the street clipped him with a short hook, and BJ fell on his ass and couldn't get back up. We are talking about a man who at one point was one of the, if not the biggest star in mixed martial arts. When BJ Penn came back to the UFC after a little bit of legal battles with Dana White and the company and kind of going and doing his own thing with his family back in Hawaii and putting on some fights, he was a massive star. He, at the time, fought George St. Pierre at UFC 94 here in Vegas in what was one of the biggest pay-per-views of all time. I can't stress enough how big this man was. And his fall has been sad. And it's not just this DUI. It's not just the fight with the bouncers. There are horror stories surrounding this man. He has been accused of rape by his former website editor. Allegedly, he assaulted the website. It wasn't rape. It was sexual assault. Allegedly, he pushed himself on the website editor's significant other at the time. There's been a lot of problematic behaviors, allegedly, over the last few years. And I'll say this. If you talk to anyone from Hilo, and I'm not even talking about MMA fans, it started with that. But then I started hearing stories years ago. For those that don't know, BJ Penn, Ben's family, very wealthy on the island of Hilo. Very wealthy. One of the more wealthy families on the entire island. They have a ton of pull. It's been rumored that he's been a problem for years, maybe decades. And people don't have a lot of nice things to say. I hear this story about the DUI, which I've heard before, that's not reported, and it makes you wonder, I just wonder, how many times that he's been let off the hook? How many times has this been covered up by people on the island? I don't know. But I go back to talking about being worried about the people around him. Is like, I'm not so much worried about BJ Penn anymore because I don't know where he's at in terms of being saved. This is a guy that's been on a steady decline. His ex came out and alleged some really salacious stuff. I mean, this has been a pattern of behavior, some of it alleged, some not alleged, like some we have video of, right? But you put two and two together in a very concerning way. It stands to kind of, at least myself, I have to be worried because it doesn't seem like it's slowing down. He was recently released from the UFC. Dana White saying he's never going to fight for him again, thankfully, because they just kept giving him fight after fight. The dude hasn't won a fight forever, since like 2011. But they just kept giving him fights for whatever reason. I don't know. Maybe they felt sorry for him. But that's the issue. That guy has so many enablers and so many people feeling sorry for himself that he is continuously becoming a danger to society. And it's something we got to keep an eye on. Very, very concerning stuff from BJ Penn going down in Hawaii. All right. Speaking of concerning stuff, Vegas Golden Knights dropping a tough one last night in Minnesota. We got Ryan the hockey guy from the VGK Insiders over there on our sister station, Fox Sports. He's stopping by next, and he's going to tell us, listen, a lot of people were upset with Marc-Andre Fleury. A lot of people were upset with Pete DeBoer. One thing is, a lot of people were upset the fact that the Golden Knights went out and laid a goose egg last night in Minnesota. We're going to talk about it next.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan Big Mac McKinnell on 920 The Game.
The crowd remaining offers its salute as a low to high pass misses everybody. It'll go all the way down and the clock runs out. This game is over. It's a shutout for Alex Stalock and the Minnesota Wild.
All right, welcome back here into the Mac Attack. Here on this Wednesday. Yeah, it's a Wednesday. What's up to Zach? Rage Against the Machine tickets on sale tomorrow. I'm very excited. Ryan the Hockey Guy, are you excited?
For Rage Against the Machine? I don't think I'm going to go to that one.
Man, you suck.
It's
at least you're not DeMond. I was talking to DeMond yesterday at a remote, and I was like, hey, man, are you excited about this Rage Against the Machine and Run the Jewel show? And he's like, no, I'm not 40. And I was like, okay, you're fired. I was like, I don't have the power to fire you, but you're fired.
When you end up on the wrong side of 40, do you add D's to the end of names? DeMond? When did that happen?
Well, I think it was just a continuation. I was going to say DeMond and, or I don't know.
No, anyway. No, it's fine. Like, yes. It's not that I don't understand or appreciate Rage Against the Machine. I do.
Okay.
I just don't know that anything else exists in my world outside of hockey.
That's where you're at. That is the life you are living. Well, let's talk a little bit of hockey. What happened last night? That's all I got.
How much time do we have?
Theoretically, we got about 11 minutes.
The Golden Knights were bad. So that about sums it up. No, that was about as bad of a game as you could possibly play in the NHL without being the Buffalo Sabres.
Ooh.
Nice. Or the Detroit Red Wings.
Ooh. They played last night.
There are certain aspects and certain areas of the schedule that you look at ahead of time and you say, this one's going to be dicey. The Golden Knights had an 8-game road trip. They come home, play one game at home.
Right.
And it's a game in which they're in complete control of heading into the third period. And then they squander two goal leads in the third period to lose to the Carolina Hurricanes. Marc-Andre Fleury allows 4 goals in the third period. And then you get your cup of coffee at home. You go 2 time zones over to play the Minnesota Wild, a team that you notoriously struggle against.
Yeah.
And what happened? Nobody showed up. No one played.
Well, it does make it so much worse because you bring up that just collapse against Carolina. When you juxtapose that to the loss last night, it's bad.
I mean, it's 3-4 really bad periods from the Golden Knights, right? And that's really what it is. You could have felt really good about where your game was. The final 4 games of the road trip, I thought the Golden Knights played incredibly well. The game in Tampa, everything was moving in the right direction.
They lost, but as you said, good game to be played.
They played a really, really solid game.
Yep.
You have that big win in Florida. You're feeling good about yourself. You jump on the Carolina Hurricanes again, and everything seems fine. You just need to take over the game in the third period. And that Chandler Stephenson shorthanded goal should have been game. It should have been game. And this team was unable to change momentum back into their favor in the third period. They could see Carolina charging back, and their own mistakes got in their way. And we've seen this over the course of the entire year. The Golden Knights, it's not so much that teams are coming in and beating them. They're beating themselves.
That's what it read to me. It's mental. Specifically, as you said, the continuation off the Florida game into Carolina, you're playing outstanding hockey against some pretty good hockey teams, well, 2 teams, whatever. Even against Tampa, you played good game. Point being, then you collapse.
Right.
And then it's a continuation of the collapse where you're clearly, now I'm not a hockey player. I'm not in that team. I don't know that team. I don't spend time around the team. But that's the way it read to me, just a complete mental lapse. Now, that to me, falls on the coach. Because we go back to not Coach Glant, who said infamously, it's not my job to rah, rah, rah. It's not my job to motivate him. I think Pete DeBoer takes a little bit different approach. So what does he do now?
Hope that his players play well. Honestly, like I'm of the mindset that all we have seen is more of the same. Right? Like we have seen under Gerard Gallant this year, this team has been dominant at times. And then they've been unable to make adjustments in game or game to game. It's everything's the same.
Same team.
All things are equal.
Just different coach.
So the only thing that's changed is the coach.
Yep.
So where's the problem? Is it the players? Is it roster construction? I mean, you can't look at this team right now under Pete DeBoer and say, yep, it was a 100% Gerard Gallant. You can't.
No.
Because the only thing...
It's the same problems rearing their ugly head.
The only thing that's been consistent is their inconsistency. Yeah. That's it.
Yep. And we're talking about with Magnum. Does this team win a 7-game series in the playoffs? Are they capable? Are they capable of winning 4 out of 7? Because as we talk about inconsistency, that's their hallmark this year. Mm-hmm. Now, on one hand, yay, we're an actual sports town, and welcome, Vegas. This is a hockey town. You're getting coaches fired in the middle of the season. You're having slumps and consistency issues, and your radio people aren't exactly excited, and nor should they be, because there is real concern in the city. Also, we can talk about the prices, what people have to pay, the culture. I mean, it's all of that tied into everything, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So I'm getting a little sidetracked. I did want to ask you about this. You posed this question last night on Twitter. There's unquestionably that the Vegas Golden Knights are a talented hockey team.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Are they a good hockey team? Yep. I'll throw that question to you.
No.
Okay.
Not right now. And
have they been at any point throughout the season as we talk about inconsistencies?
They have had stretches where they have been good. They have. Unfortunately, the stretches where they have not been good have been way more prominent. Marc-Andre Fleury, over the course of his last 25 starts, is an .897 goalie. An .897 save percentage.
Wow.
And let me kind of frame it this way. The Golden Knights can score a ton of goals. The Golden Knights can defend as well as they need to. The Golden Knights can play well in every other area of the game. But if you can't get league average goaltending, I don't care how elite your numbers are. I don't care how good you are offensively. You're not going to win hockey games. You're just not. And it's not to suggest that it's all on Marc-Andre Fleury. Game to game, you look at different situations. He played fine against Minnesota. Still gave up 4 goals. He did not play well against Carolina in the third period.
Right.
That is a big reason why they lost that game. If you go over those 25 games, there are games in which the numbers don't look particularly good, but Marc-Andre Fleury played well enough. There are also plenty of games where Marc-Andre Fleury doesn't give you that save that he traditionally does, and you end up losing a game.
Well,
they're not good until Marc-Andre Fleury is back.
So, as we talk about Marc-Andre Fleury being back, and we're here with Ryan the Hockey Guy, host of the VGK Insider Show, and pre- and post-game, and intermission, all that good stuff over on our sister station, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Where is the issue with Fleury? Is it an age issue where this is the inevitable, and we knew it was going to come, and we're talking about a guy who has been in the league since, what, 03, 04? I mean, he's been in the league, I feel like, forever. Truly, the man is a true veteran of this league, came in as basically a teenager, or... is it just, and this is something we talked about midway through the season, he lost his father. And I'm not laughing. I'm just going to say he loves his father. Listen, everyone loves their father. But I do think he seems to have taken it particularly hard. I mean, and you heard like kind of his narratives change when he talked about the future of his career. There's less in front of me than there was behind me or whatever the phrasing was, right?
Mm-hmm,
yep. It just feels like that really hit him hard. So do you think it's an age thing? Do you think it's the natural progression of this player? Or do you think it's the emotion of this season?
You know, that's a question that's been posed to me quite a bit, and I don't think physically there's anything hindering Marc-Andre Fleury.
Okay.
Period.
All right.
He's still where he needs to be. He's still able to get across the net. He's still able to make those ridiculous saves. He is still able to move around that crease the way that he did at the beginning of the season, the way that he did last year, and the way that he did when he first came to Vegas and earned that big extension, that big contract.
Right.
It's not physical. It's a mental issue, and it's not so much that he's not prepared the right way or anything like that. His reads are just not what you're used to seeing out of Marc-Andre Fleury. And I'm going to highlight the Hayden Fleury goal that was scored in the Carolina game. And it was it was a power play goal in which Marc-Andre Fleury is going to look around Warren Fogle, who's in front of Fleury. Fleury's picking up the puck. He sees that Hayden Fleury is at the boards on the blue line. Conventional wisdom, if you're Marc-Andre Fleury, you've been around this game a long time, you know that a defenseman is not going to shoot the puck from there. He's going to move to the center of the ice. He's going to walk that line. He's going to move to your left, right? So if you're Marc-Andre Fleury, if you're trying to kind of read around that screen, which direction do you go? You go left because you know that that's the only area of the ice that Hayden Fleury has available to him. And if you look at the replay from behind Marc-Andre,
what Fleury do?
He looks right. And as he looks right around Warren Fogle, that's when Hayden Fleury moves, slides off to Marc-Andre's left.
To his blind. He's blind.
And lets the shot go. Yeah. And by the time Fleury comes back, he missed the release point and didn't get that read that he usually gets all the time. And that's a goal. And that's the difference in his game.
Yeah.
It's his reads.
Could it be something as simple as having fun? Because I know this is crazy, but when I heard that he wasn't going to play in the All-Star game, normally I wouldn't think anything of that, but coupled with the loss of his father and a guy who Fleury, I don't know. Like, I think back to Mark Burley playing for the Chicago White Sox. Magnum, you'll remember him. He used to go out on the tarp and do body slides during rain delays. Like, clearly, like, he had the most fun I've ever seen an athlete play the game. Marc-Andre Fleury was that version of Mark Burley. Like, he was the guy having he might be the guy that I've seen have the most fun in the history of hockey.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And now it doesn't feel like that. And when you, the All-Star game is for fun. Remember the shootout challenges or the breakaway challenge that he had so much fun with?
Yeah.
It seems so outside the norm of what we come to expect from him. Do you think it could just be that he's just depressed?
It's possible that that's a determining factor in this. I mean, don't forget the fact that things aren't necessarily fun right now around their locker room.
Yeah.
This is a team that was expected to contend for a Stanley Cup. They had the ultimate players coach in Gerard Gallant, and because they have underperformed, that guy's gone. So I don't know that my read on the locker room right now is that many guys are having too much fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a tough one because you get here year one, and there's really no expectations, and you start believing in something bigger than the sum of your parts, and all of a sudden, things kind of happen.
Kind of. And, I mean, the Cinderella story to end all Cinderella stories, yeah.
But they didn't win it.
Right.
They didn't win the big one. And, you know, if you're looking for something that eats away at Marc-Andre Fleury, it's that Stanley Cup championship. And I'll tell you why. Because while he's won three in his career, he was not the goaltender in the net when the Stanley Cup was awarded to the Penguins the final two times.
Right.
It was Matt Murray.
Yep.
And it was going to be a legacy-defining championship for Marc-Andre year one in Vegas. And it didn't happen. So if there's one thing that you can look at and say, this one stings, it's that championship and the way that that year went. And you know that you can't catch lightning on a bottle twice. I mean, the Golden Knights have not been that dominant at any point in time since year one.
All right. So what needs to happen, Ryan, the hockey guy? You're looking at a homestand that includes the Blues, the Islanders, the Capitals, the Lightning, and the Panthers. That is a nightmare home schedule. So what do they need to do? What do you think is going to happen? What do you expect from all this?
They got to win. I understand how ridiculous that statement is, but like
they really need to win.
This team cannot afford to get 2 or 3 points out of the next 5 games. Like, if that happens on the road, if these teams show up on the road on a road trip for the Golden Knights,
season's
you're like,
over.
Okay, you know what? You try to get 3 or 4 points, you're good. Like, you can't do that now. You need all the points you can get.
You're in the fight for your lives.
Absolutely. Yeah. So this homestand, to me, is a determining factor as to whether or not the Golden Knights make or miss the playoffs.
All right, there you go. Ryan the Hockey Guy over there on our sister station, VGK Insiders on Fox Sports. They're going to be up in about 13 minutes. What do you got on the show?
Well, we're going to break down the Minnesota game.
Not good.
Fun. And then we're going
to listen to VGK Frank try to speak. Tune in for that. That should be entertaining.
Yes. Frank's voice is... it's a little rough around the edges today, so that's kind of
understatement.
We've got our oil play of the day. Chris Chapman picked some good plays, and then surprisingly, did he really? Yeah, surprisingly enough. And then
he hates it. Why are you guys going to pick on me?
Well, you know, we do our best, and then we'll provide an update on Jay Bomeister.
All right.
who collapsed in a game last night.
Yeah, very scary incident. Yes. Having a heart episode on the game. The game was postponed.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It doesn't happen a lot.
So, yeah, and that's a tough spot, too, because the next opponent of the Golden Knights tomorrow is the St. Louis Blues, and you have to wonder where their headspace is going to be going into this game, but yeah. It's also a team that the last time they played in Vegas squandered a lead and lost in overtime, and that's not going to sit well with the defending Stanley Cup champions.
Ryan, the hockey guy, we appreciate it, pal.
Thanks.
All right, we're out of here. Going to take a quick break. Oh, no, Magnum. Thank you, Magnum. You're a very good man. You're a very good man. All right. Let's think about it. We got 4 tickets coming up to give away at the Xfinity Series happening this Saturday, part of NASCAR weekend out at the Speedway. 4 tickets. What do you think, Magnum? What do you think for a number? Let's do...
Well, we could go with 4, the amount of goals that the Vegas Golden Knights gave up last night.
Okay, real easy. Caller number 4, you get 4 tickets out there to the Xfinity Series this Saturday at the Speedway. NASCAR is in town. 365-9200. That's the number. We'll be right back after this break.
Hey, come on over. Have some fun with Crazy Taxi.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan Big Mac McKinnell on 920 The Game.
Hey, back here on the Mac Attack. Congrats to George for winning those tickets out there at the Speedway this Saturday. NASCAR's in town. Vroom, vroom. Vroom, vroom. You know, I've never been to a NASCAR race, which is odd, Magnum, because I grew up in Indiana, went to the Brickyard, did the time trials, just never went to an actual race, and that was Indy anyway. But I've never actually been to a NASCAR race.
I've been to a couple NASCAR. I went to an IndyCar race, and I've been to a Formula One race.
You like the NASCAR race?
That's not bad. Okay. You know, I like the Formula One a little bit better. The big difference between NASCAR and, like, Formula One, you see the cars for, like, 30 seconds when they go right by you.
Yeah.
NASCAR, you can see the whole track.
Yeah.
So well, you can see everything that's going on.
Yeah, but F1's got those cool locales, like, go to Monaco. Or,
I saw it in Singapore.
Oh, see, that's the one I want to go to.
Which is a night race.
Yeah, Misha Tate, she lives in Singapore now, about to do my satellite show with her in about 7 minutes.
Yeah, they say that is the best F1 race to go to. Okay, no, well, I got nothing to compare it to.
She's a VP over there at One Championship, the MMA company, and she's got, a place right in the middle of town, and she said the view, it's right above the track.
Singapore is unreal in terms of. It's so clean, and the food is so good.
I got to get over there while I still have a place to stay, and she still has a job up there.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm very cheap.
Hey, I you know what? It's an expensive country.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty expensive in Vegas, too. You know, Ryan the hockey guy just touched on it. I appreciate him stopping by. But that incident with Joe Bomeister last night Jay Bomeister of the Blues last night was terrifying. We're finding out more details this morning. For those of you who don't know, first period, Jay Bomeister of the Blues collapsed on the bench, 36-year-old defenseman. They postponed the game. They stopped the game, called it a cardiac episode, quote unquote. Now we're finding out he needed a defibrillator to be revived.
That's scary, scary stuff.
So, I mean, I'm not a doctor, but that meant he had a heart attack, right?
That pretty much means he was basically almost dead.
Right.
Which is terrifying.
So he's apparently doing much better right now, which is obviously great news. That would have been a horrific moment in sports. I mean, hell, it was a horrific
moment.
Would
have been Hank Gathers.
Yeah, yeah. So just very, very glad that Jay Bomeister walked out of there and is recovering now from that episode. And very scary stuff, very scary stuff. Vegas Golden Knights back in action tomorrow. We will talk about it. We're going to try to get Adam Hill on, have some fun. We'll see you then, friends.